We are drowning in plastic. But what if instead of throwing it away, we could make old plastics into something useful? How, you ask? Check out the Future of Everything podcast from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Thursday, July 6th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. Elon Musk and Twitter are facing a lot of challenges. This week, a new competitor emerged. Threads. It's a microblogging app from Facebook parent Meta, which could pose the biggest risk yet to Musk's plan to rebuild Twitter's advertising revenue. Our reporter Salvador Rodriguez will join us to discuss. Plus, we'll find out why SoftBank, one of the biggest startup investors, missed out on much of the frenzy around generative AI. But starting with Threads, its release comes just days after Twitter announced it would limit how many posts users could see in a day. And it's not the first time Meta has copied an app or feature from a social media competitor. So what does this mean for Twitter, for Meta, and for users? WSJ reporter Salvador Rodriguez is here with those answers. To start off, you know, why is Meta launching Threads?
Meta is launching Threads because it's a good opportunity to release a product like this. Twitter has had a number of issues since Elon Musk took ownership of that social network in October. And for Meta, it's a way to give users more stuff to do. It's a way to keep them around longer in the Meta social media empire. And eventually, it would be one more way for them to show advertisements to people.
I want to talk a little bit more about the impact that this will have on Twitter, but just to stick with Threads for a second, I mean, Meta is launching this through Instagram. Can you tell us a little bit more about why it's chosen to do it that way instead of having a standalone app?
Yeah, a lot of these companies make it look easy, but really when it comes to getting people to download and sign up for a new app, it's a lot of work. And by springboarding Threads off of Instagram, Meta is reducing the amount of friction that it takes for someone to sign up and get in there and quickly just start using the app. Instagram users will be able to quickly log into Threads using their Instagram accounts. And once they do that, it'll also be really easy for them to follow the same people that they already follow on Instagram.
Sal, this isn't the first time we've seen Meta copy what a social media competitor is doing, is it?
Yeah, Meta has a long and quite elaborate history of copying competitors in several occasions to much success. They did this in 2016 when Instagram launched Stories, which was a copy of Stories by Snapchat. And they did it again in 2020 when Instagram launched Reels, which was their version of short form video, aka TikTok. And you can't even go further back than that. About a decade ago, when they launched Messenger, you could argue that that was a copy of WhatsApp for just in case if they hadn't been able to secure WhatsApp in an acquisition. So this is something that they do and they do well, and it's worked for them in the past.
So what does this mean for Twitter? What are the potential big impacts of having a player like Meta enter this space?
For Twitter, this is the sharks circling. I spoke with a bunch of social media experts, including some folks who had previously worked at both Twitter and Meta. I also spoke with some social media analysts, and none of them think that this means Twitter will die overnight. Like, we're not going to see everybody leave this bar to go to the other bar. That's not going to happen. But what is going to happen is that over time, anytime an issue comes up or anytime Elon says something that offends a subset of people, every Twitter user will now have a real alternative that they can go to instead.
What do you mean by real alternative? Because there have been other competitors, you know, Blue Sky, Spill, these other apps that have come out and tried to compete with Twitter already.
Yeah, there certainly have been others, Mastodon, Blue Sky, Truth Social. Even though they exist, the problem that they have is this. They don't have mass adoption. They haven't seen a network effect, right? From the estimates that I've seen, the three apps that I mentioned are all less than 1 million active users. Twitter is at about 350 million monthly active users based on estimates that we've seen. We know that Instagram has more than 2 billion monthly active users. Now, I don't know how broadly Threads is being released. I don't know if it's going to be available for every single Instagram user in every market where Instagram is available. But if you get just a quarter of Instagram users to sign up for this thing, it's already larger than Twitter. And at the end of the day, an app like this, it's about broadcasting whatever you have to say to as many people as possible, right? It's a one-to-many broadcast channel. And if the main point of you using this is to be as loud as you can be, you're going to go to whichever of these apps has the most users. I think that will ultimately be the deciding factor.
What does that mean for advertisers who also want the biggest audience possible?
For advertisers, it remains to be seen. When it comes to social media, obviously the users come first, and then the advertisers just go to where those users are. I think another strength that Meta has is that they have a really deep roster of advertising clients.
So what does that mean for Twitter's efforts to retain and to grow its advertising revenue?
The biggest concern would be if Threads does manage to siphon off a large swath of Twitter users. They're already struggling when it comes to advertising revenue, right? They peaked at $4.51 billion in advertising revenue in 2021. And according to an estimate by Insider Intelligence, they're expected to generate $3 billion in advertising revenue for 2023. So they're already on a downward trajectory. And so it's just going to be a much more competitive market for Twitter moving forward.
All right, that's our reporter, Salvador Rodriguez. Earlier this week, a judge ordered the federal government to stop communicating with social media companies about online content. The injunction stemmed from a lawsuit led by the Republican attorneys general of Missouri and Louisiana. The court ruled government officials' policing of social media posts likely violated the First Amendment. The decision also bans the Biden administration from contacting social media companies with the purpose of suppressing political views and other speech normally protected from government censorship. A spokesman for the Justice Department declined to comment on the ruling, but in a brief previously filed with the court, the department denied the plaintiff's allegations. After the break, one of the biggest investors in tech has missed out on some of the biggest gains in the current AI revolution. We'll tell you who, why, and what their plan is to get back in the game when we come back.
Taxi to the airport, please.
What if, instead of driving to the airport, you could fly there?
Wow, 10 minutes flat? A new record.
This future may not be so far away. Flying taxis could be a reality in the next few years.
This is the real exciting thing because it is the ability that will transform how we think of transportation.
But how do we get there? Listen to the Future of Everything podcast from The Wall Street Journal.
Back in 2018, Masayoshi Son, the CEO of SoftBank, said the global tech investor was focused on artificial intelligence. But these days, the firm is not reaping the financial benefits of the generative AI revolution. And now SoftBank is having to pivot its AI strategy at a time when a lot of other investors are also getting into this space. Our reporter Elliot Brown wrote about this, and he joins me now. Elliot, SoftBank is known for making these big bets on early stage startups. So how did it manage to miss out on some of the gains in this AI craze?
Yeah, it's actually kind of fascinating. So SoftBank has been basically the most prolific startup investor in the world since they launched the Vision Fund in 2017. They've spent $140 billion or so, and yet it seemed to really have missed out on the AI frenzy that's gripped things. I mean, they have one generative AI startup valued over $1 billion. There's 26 of them. They also don't really have any companies participating in the big public markets rally and frenzy around AI. So it is a kind of fascinating miss by them.
What were some of the specific steps that just didn't play out right for them?
Part of what's happened here is the cruel timing of venture capital, where usually there's only a few very small periods where you can actually invest to get these huge returns, and otherwise you're late to the party. And SoftBank basically turned the spigot off its investing at kind of the exact wrong time for that. They had spent more than anyone in the absolute peak and then regretted that. And so then in 2022, they were really cautious and basically didn't invest anything or nearly nothing. And that turned out to be a really good time to get into generative AI startups. That's when a bunch of the prominent ones were sort of raising new rounds of investment before they kind of went crazy at the end of last year and earlier this year.
So how is SoftBank and its leader, Masayoshi Son, planning to readjust now?
If you look at the rhetoric coming out of SoftBank, they have said that they are very keen on AI and going to lead the AI revolution. Of course, that's what they've been saying since 2017. But Masayoshi Son, the CEO of SoftBank, has said, you know, he's very optimistic about it. And he's signaling he wants to start to open that faucet back up and start spending money again.
And of course, SoftBank kind of is known for opening this like big spigot of money and pouring it into startups. But I wonder, given the investing that's already happened in generative AI and the fact that some of the gains have gone to big tech companies like Microsoft and Alphabet, how SoftBank maybe stands to gain, how they can possibly get into this market now.
So, yeah, they're very late to that party. That would be expensive for them to get in. On the other hand, you basically have the incumbents, the chip companies and Meta and Google dominating the market gains on the public markets of the AI frenzy. That's not the type of companies that SoftBank generally invests in. Now, that leaves them to sort of hope that AI transforms all the other startups that they have, which is what they have been saying and are saying.
SoftBank has been one of the biggest startup investors for years, but it also hasn't had a real big win when it comes to, you know, the valuation of some of its investment in a number of years. So is it still as relevant as it once was?
Right now, I would say they aren't terribly relevant given that they just aren't spending much money. If they do decide to really start spending in earnest again, they have basically the deepest pockets out there. Despite their kind of really terrible track record over the past 6 years or so on startups, they still, you know, can sort of shake the market because they have money piling in from investments made 15, 20, 25 years ago.
All right, that's our reporter, Elliot Brown. And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
How is this lab studying human brains? By growing them in a Petri dish. Well, sort of. Learn how little balls of brain cells are helping scientists better understand diseases on the Future of Everything podcast from The Wall Street Journal.